This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
We all have an understanding of fellowshipping with each other, but fellowship with the Holy Spirit is not something that we have all grasped. When you look at Paul, in most of Paul's letters, he's ended with a prayer, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Or he said, "May grace be with you." However, when you come to the end of 2 Corinthians 13 to 14, which I want you to open to, 2 Corinthians 13, you find out that Paul, in writing this letter, kind of stretches his greetings, his final greetings. He stretches it a little bit in 2 Corinthians 13, 13 to 14. This is what he says. He says, "All the saints greet you." Then he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." But in some script, in some translation, it will say fellowship. So this word fellowship, what does it really mean? Fellowship itself comes from a Greek word, koinonia, that occurs 20 times in the Bible. Koinonia's primary meaning is fellowship, sharing in common, communion. Now, the first time you ever see this word fellowship used in the New Testament is actually in Acts 2:42. Okay? In Acts 2:42, where it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. When you really look at it, the Christian fellowship is the key aspect of Christianity. Amen. You know, sometimes we talk about, "Oh, I love my brother, I do this, I do that," but we do not fellowship with each other because we do not have a good understanding of fellowship. Someone said, fellowship is actually fellows in a ship. But fellowship in itself is actually a communion, a coming together, okay? A coming together, discussing, having different things to talk about. So when Paul was saying here, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, what was he talking about? Because we know the book of John, in the book of John, it actually tells us that grace comes from Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came with grace. Let's quickly read it so that it will make sense to you. John 1:14. It says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. John chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." In 17, he says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Amen? So when Paul was saying in that particular verse, when he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ," what he was saying was that this grace that has been sent by Jesus, that has been released by Jesus, may it be with you. It's very important that you look at those prayers that Paul prayed when it comes to grace. Okay? They're very, very important. Now, I want to show you something else. When you look at the next thing that Paul said in that prayer, he says, "The love of God." Amen. And we all know that Jesus, the Bible says in John 3:16, which is the most popular scripture, for God so loved the world. So we know that God is a God of love. Okay. So Paul is saying, remember, grace has come from Jesus, and that grace should be with you. Then he goes on to say, remember that God loves you. But Jesus is not here, is he? Where is Jesus? Where is the Father? But there's only one person that is here. Who is here with us? So Paul now says, and the what? Fellowship. Hallelujah. Fellowship, which means constant communion, constant relationship. Okay? So when Benny Hinn, I read that book, Good Morning Holy Spirit, what changed my life was this word: you cannot please God without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you to please the Father. And this was what changed in my prayer life. When I read the Bible, I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, the Word of God came through you. Please help me to understand it. And it began to make a whole lot of difference in my life. Holy Spirit, I do not know or I do not understand what the Father wants or what the Father needs me to do at this point in time. Do you know, before a theme comes that we have monthly, I say to the Holy Spirit, please help me, because I don't know what the Father is speaking or what the Father wants to speak to us at this point in time. Can you see a little bit of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul was saying. He was saying fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remain in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see a scripture that then began to break this up for me, to understand grace. Amen. To understand grace. As I began to look at this topic on grace, I was really blessed when I came across these two scriptures in the Bible. And what I've been saying about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I hope it helps you as I try to unfold this particular scripture. Zechariah 12:10. It's quite interesting because this scripture I'm going to read, or the word where you see this word, Spirit of Grace, I've only found it twice in the Bible, and that's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Zechariah 12:10, he says, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Amen? Zechariah 12:10. Now, what do you see there? You find out that the word spirit is in capital letter. Amen? Now, let's look at the second one, which is found in Hebrews 10:29. This is also very important in Hebrews 10:29. It says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and done what? Insulted the Spirit of grace. What do you notice there again? The Spirit is in capital letter. Okay, starts with a capital letter. So these scriptures began to stir something in my spirit. Have I lost you guys? Began to stir something in my spirit about grace and the Holy Spirit. And what it began to stir up in me was that, have we really missed grace by focusing or by pitting the law against grace, rather than actually focusing on the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what God has called us to do. Am I making sense? Have we really missed why Jesus said it is expedient for me to go? For if I do not go, the helper will not come. Is this making sense? As I began to read that scripture in John 16, three things leapt out at me. The first one, Jesus says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. So who convicts the world of sin? It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. And what does he say in Zechariah 12? Does he not say he will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication that they will look unto the one whom they have pierced? Spirit of what? Of grace and supplication. Amen? Secondly, that you see in that scripture in John 16, it also says concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Do you know sometimes we have this saying where we say, I am the righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus. True, I do not have any doubt about that. But how do you keep living a life of righteousness if not because of the Holy Spirit? Am I making sense? So whatever we do as Christians is by grace. It has nothing to do with us. But guess what? It's the Spirit of grace. It's the Holy Spirit that helpeth our weaknesses, because we do not know what we ought to pray. We do not know what we ought to do. You know, those times when we goof, those times when we want to say things that we shouldn't say, the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, says, stop. Do you know there are three words in the Bible that we've neglected? We don't say them anymore. Resist. Quench. The third one. Resist, grieve. We fail, we do not go back to those words at all. But they're there in the Bible, that we should not resist the Holy Spirit by which we have been sealed. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the third one is we should not quench the Holy Spirit. Do you know what's interesting about the Spirit of grace? Is that every time the Spirit of grace or the Holy Spirit says to you, don't do that, is releasing grace. Amen. Is releasing grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let us look at something here. I want us to focus on righteousness. The reason why I want us to focus on righteousness, because Jesus says in John 16, he says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I do what? I go to the Father. So it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to live a life of righteousness whilst we are on this earth. We know beyond every reasonable doubt that we are the righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus. You see, if God was looking at us, he will not see our sins. He will see Jesus Christ. But living this life in righteousness is by the grace of God. So let's look at the Bible, because it says, and he concerning righteousness, he will teach us. Okay? It means, righteousness actually means to be morally upright, without guilt or sin. So how many of us in this place can live that kind of a life? No one. In our own self, we cannot do it. Amen. So what Jesus was saying, that when he comes, he will help you as a believer live a life worthy of praise to God. You know, the Bible talks about we're saved unto good works. How do we do those good works? Is the Spirit of grace. Amen. Let's quickly look at Galatians 12, Galatians 2, verse 9, from verse 19. And you're going to see me, I'll be going between the law and grace in this teaching. And that's to bring us to a point that will really help us when we begin to talk about the law and the grace, to realize that the law in itself has not been abolished. People will say to me, but I'm going to show you why I believe that. Because when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said something to them, which is very, very interesting. He says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Were you saved by the law or by faith in Jesus Christ?" What was he saying? He was saying that you becoming or you being saved, you being redeemed, had nothing to do with whether you killed a ram, with whether you did. No, it had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do because you kept the Ten Commandments, because in your own strength, you couldn't keep it. But it had to do with you having faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It was having faith in Jesus Christ. But look at what he says here. He said, "For I through the law," verse 19, "died to the law that I might live to God. For I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." So righteousness has not come through the law. But how do you know what righteousness is? That's my question. Do you get me? So how do you know? Look at Romans 7, verse 6. Romans 7, verse 6. It says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So serving God is through the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit. We do not go back to the law, we do not use the Torah, we do not use any of that. But how then do we know when we've done wrong? Because, Lord, help me to be able to put this together. You see, in the early days, or in my early days as a Christian, I used to have people say to me, "But Abraham lied." You get me? So they were justifying themselves for lying because Abraham lied. And I used to say this to them. Yes, when Abraham lied, there was no law. Are you getting me? So before the law, they did whatever they did. But when the law came, the law was a pointer so that we can understand what sin is. Are you getting through to me? Am I making sense? The law began to open law. So the law in itself became a teacher to us. Okay? I have it in scripture. Romans 7:7. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" Okay? "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead." So when there was no law, sin was dead. We could do whatever we wanted to. "I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." But guess what? Grace, the Spirit of grace, points us to when we covet, to when we lie, to when we do things that are wrong. But how many of you, listen, God help me. How many of you here will do 50 miles per hour on a 30 miles per hour road? You wouldn't. Why not? It's the road, the speed limit is 30 miles per hour, and you will drive 50 miles per hour. Anybody here? You wouldn't. Why would you not? Because it says 30 miles. So in short, there is something that points you to the fact that what you're doing is wrong. You get what I'm saying? So that's why we cannot close our eyes and say, we are saved by grace. Yes, we are saved by grace. But that does not say that we should not live according to the rules of God. Amen. God has rules. And his rules are do not steal, do not kill, do not covet. And that's what Paul was trying to bring out here. But Paul goes on to say something which really blessed me. Okay. Having said all these things, Paul comes to chapter 8, which has been a blessing to me. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not do what? Walk according to the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. So what is he saying here? He's saying that as long as you are a believer, there are times you want to do something that you don't want to do. You mess it up over and over again. But listen, you are not under condemnation if you walk, if you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you when you're messing up. The Holy Spirit will stop you and say, wait a minute, what you're doing, do you think that's right? You know, I do ask, sometimes I ask some people, I said, when you wanted to do that thing, did you hear a gentle voice say to you, don't? And they go, yes. So why did you do it? You resisted because you didn't believe that the Holy Spirit can tell you not to do something. Fellowship. Amen? Fellowship. Paul is telling us that there is nothing wrong with the law. The law actually shows us when we are wrong. Now, in chapter 8, like I read, this is the good news. We do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. As Christians, we need to learn to walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 now says in chapter 8, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there is a righteous fulfillment of the law. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because when you live according, when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace helps you to do those things. You know, there was a testimony of a lady who was going to preach somewhere. Because we have grace also to preach the message. She was going to preach somewhere. She had invited all these young ladies. She invited one lady. And the lady said, okay, come over and preach to me, a cell leader, a cell member. But she left work. And as she was heading home, she was tired. And she said, oh, I'm going to call this woman and say to her, I can't come because I'm tired. Guess what happened? The Holy Spirit said, no. I know you're tired, but I want you to go. And so she went. When she got there, this woman was a cell member. This woman had invited all her family, every member of her family. You're talking about 12 people. And she had cooked. And she went, and every single person gave their life to Christ on that day. Now, let me ask you a question. She was tired, wasn't she? But what was the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit was giving her the grace to be able to go to that place because the Holy Spirit had prepared something. Am I making sense? Because you see, sometimes when we talk about grace, we only talk about grace when we want to do things that makes us relax. I know sometimes before people will say, oh, I can't come to church today. And I say, why? Oh, I'm tired, but the grace of God is for me, is there for me. Yes, the grace of God strengthens you to do those things. Amen. And that's why Paul continues. He says, Paul continues in Galatians 5. And this is what he says in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Okay? So can you see where our flesh fights with the Spirit? Says, I don't want to, I'm tired, I can't do this, I can't go to this, I can't go to that. But Paul goes on and says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what's the challenge here? If you're led by the Spirit, you see, all the things that we have been set free from, the Holy Spirit is constantly helping you to stay away from there because you're in tune constantly with the throne room of grace. You're constantly in tune with God. Amen. Because the things of the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God. Anything outside of that is flesh. Hey, I hope I'm making sense to you guys here. So you see, the challenge we have sometimes is that we try to please God in our own strength. We try to do most things in our own strength. We strive for perfection in our own effort. Even though we are not under law, but under grace, but we do not give the Holy Spirit the leading. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. That's why he goes on again to say that this is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:25. So if you're not under the law and you're not on, and you're not on, what do you think is happening? You're submitting to the Holy Spirit. And so the fruit that we see in our lives, the joy, the self-control, what else again? Peace. All these things are birthed out of the Spirit of grace. Because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to lead. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So the key thing there is be led by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be led by the Spirit, and you will not be under the law. Those who are not saved, who do not know Jesus Christ, are still under the law. Do you realize that? And that's why you cannot say there is no more law. They're still under the law. But we who are saved, we're no more under the law. We're under grace. And that's why we need to fellowship with the Spirit of grace. The Bible tells us that we are saved unto good works. Yes, good works. But how do we fulfill these good works? It is by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not made right by our good works. When we allow the Holy Spirit room through our fellowship with him, we will have a life devoid of fleshly lusts. Amen. How many of you were angry yesterday? Was someone angry yesterday? I was. And you see, he then comes back to what Paul was saying again about grace, where he asked, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? He says, certainly not. Do you not know, that's Romans 6:15-19. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So who is the Lord over your life? Amen. So you see why we need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. When you were not saved, there were things you did that you had no problem. You had no problem in doing those things. But now, he's saying in verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there to convict us of righteousness. Amen. If Jesus is Lord and he has given us the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying that we should just present ourselves and fellowship with the Holy Spirit if we want to stay away from sin. Amen. The early disciples relied and depended on him so much. In John 16:15, it says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and he will declare it to you. The Holy Spirit declares the things of the Father to us. Okay. When you look at the scripture in 1 John 2:27, this is a very good scripture that really helps me sometimes when I'm struggling in my walk with God. It says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. When you look at this scripture, the power of God flowing through us is anointing of God. Okay? So the anointing of God is present, his power is present, and they're flowing through us as we operate. And this is the power. This power is the Holy Spirit walking through us. Amen. The anointing he's talking about is the Holy Spirit that is within us, that lives, that abides in us. So those two scriptures I have read, Zechariah 12:10, he poured out the Spirit of grace. And Hebrews 10:29 talks about the Spirit of grace. And I want us to know one thing. In Hebrews, when he said to them, you've insulted the Spirit of grace, what he was actually saying to the children of to the Hebrews was because the Hebrews, those in Hebrew, had gotten to a point where they were being persecuted. And as they were being persecuted, those of them who had given their life to Christ before were told that if they were being persecuted. So as they ran back to go into the synagogue, what used to happen was they were told they needed to renounce Jesus before they could be allowed to get into the synagogue. Okay, because they were running from persecution. That was why Paul wrote that letter to them and said, you've done something, you've insulted the Spirit of grace. When you renounce Jesus, you've actually insulted the Spirit of grace, because the Spirit of grace is there to help you face persecution. It's there to help you go through these trials. Amen. Sometimes we go through trials, we go through those challenges, and we quickly give up. But the Spirit of grace is there to help us battle through. Amen. If you read the letters from Peter, if you read the letters from Paul, James, you always see that there was always an encouragement, and then it comes to the place, the grace, the manifold grace, all the grace of God. Do you know even giving is by the grace of God? Amen. Because sometimes you can sit down and you look at your account and you say, oh, give again. But the grace of God, the Holy Spirit just comes and says, you can do it. People of God, I'm convinced that the Bible may be giving us an incredible revelation that the Holy Spirit himself may be the actual grace of God. Okay? And as such, because the anointing dwells within us, we all have the grace of God dwelling in us. Amen? Since we all have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Let me quote something someone said. He said, bottom line, we need God's divine grace and power flowing and operating through us if we are going to become everything
that he's calling us to become in him in this life. Not by our might, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit operating through us, can we ever hope to fulfill the divine plan and call that God has on each one of our lives. It's by the grace of God. And if we can look deep inside and begin to learn how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we'll begin to experience the Spirit of grace. Amen. Can you pray? It's by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Can you sing? It's by the grace of God. Amen. A lady sang one time and said, oh, she sang very well. And people said, oh, that was wonderful. And she said, oh, it's not me. It was Jesus. And the person said, if it was Jesus, it would have sounded a lot better. That's why we need to thank God for his grace. Whatever we can do, it's by the grace of God. Okay? And you see in this scripture that if God, the Father, can give great grace and great power to the first apostles, we are also recipients of it. You know why? Because God is not, he does not take bribe. Amen? The Bible says God does not take bribe and is not partial. Amen? So for everyone who has received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, you're not under law, you're under grace. And that grace is what enables us to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Having said all of this, the key thing to understanding and being led by the Spirit is to spend more time with him. It's the fellowship. So I come back to that. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because, listen guys, let's be truthful. There are things that we cannot do in our own strength. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I read to you the manifold grace of God. Did I not? And you find out that in that manifold grace, even to teach is by the grace of God. To work of miracles, the Bible says Stephen did so many, the grace of God was with him, and he did so many miracles. Amen, Stephen. That's the grace of God. Miracles, the grace of God to give, the grace of God. But let's come to the Holy Spirit and begin to learn how to fellowship with him so that we can learn how to please the Father. Amen. I've not yet been able to please him as I want to. But this is one of my new prayers that I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to me, is teaching me. I've said, Lord, I'm going to say to you, I love you on a daily basis until every single being in me, when it's cut into pieces, says, I love you. Amen. The grace of God, the Spirit of grace. How many of you want to come to the Spirit of grace? Is already inside of you. You just need to begin to fellowship. You just need to begin to speak to the Holy Spirit. Speak to him. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-ncc.org. And remember, God loves you.